Krishna and Radharani appear in one form as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that each of them could experience the ecstatic love of the other. Krishna, wanting to experience the love of Radha, appears in this form of Lord Chaitanya. So we should know that Lord Chaitanya is not simply an incarnation, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eternally exists in this most merciful, full-fledged form of absolute truth in the spiritual world of Goloka. And as Vrindavan descends once every day of Brahma into this universe, similarly Navadvip, which is none different than Vrindavan, descends to this world once in every day of Brahma, according to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And the Acharyas explain the only difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan is that Navadvip embodies a principle of greater magnanimity and mercy. Just as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many demons came to Vrindavan. And each of these demons, who were causing so much problem in the world, Krishna very mercifully killed them. To Putana, he sucked her milk. And she screamed terribly. And in great pain, she died. To Trinavarta, he smashed him to the ground and broke his every limb till he was dead. Agasura, Vakasura, Vatsasura, Keshi, Yomasura, Pralambasura. So many demons, and Krishna killed them. And each of those demons, after being killed, they either got liberation, or on rare occasions, like Putana, after dying a horrible, miserable death, she was given entrance into the spiritual world. But in Navadvip, demons of the same category as these appeared. They were setting houses on fire. They were murdering Brahmins. They were killing cows. They were drinking blood. They were stealing. But in Navadvip, the demons were not killed. The demons were given the mercy of the Lord. With the weapon of the holy name, in Navadvip, the greatest demons were given love of God. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udharilo arasakshi jagai matai. That even the most terrible, terrible, murderous, cruel demons like Jagai and Madhai were given love of God in Navadvip. So this is the one difference between Vrindavan and Navadvip. Is Krishna gives love of God freely to everyone in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda explained the only qualification is faith in his mercy and the willingness to accept his mercy. So we are very fortunate to be here in this holy land. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you will go to Ekachakra one day. He was born there. He traveled throughout all of India, to all the holy places. Alas, he came to Vrindavan, and he stayed near a tree, which is still there in Vrindavan. And he waited for Lord Chaitanya to begin his Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip. And then he personally came here. And just next to this temple, 5 minute walk hardly, is the place where Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first met. Nandanacharya's house. And there the two began the Sankirtan. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu predicted that someday a great city will rise here in Navadvip, and an empowered soul will attract people from all over the world to come here to chant the holy names of Lord Chaitanya. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod, just on the other side of the river Jalangi, sitting on his veranda, looking just toward this track of land, saw a great light, and he envisioned this wonderful temple that would attract the whole world to come to chant the holy names of the Lord. And he also predicted that in the future an empowered soul would build this temple that Lord Nityananda Prabhu predicted. So Srila Prabhupada actually, before that, we should know that this area of Mayapur was forgotten. People were thinking Lord Chaitanya's birthplace was on the other side of the Ganga. And all that existed here were just some paddy fields, some farms. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through research of various maps, through discussing with great, great pure Vaishnavas, revealed to the world the true place of Lord Chaitanya's birth, the place of Sri Vasangam, the place of the most important pastimes of the Lord. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur built wonderful temples here with his followers. But still, rather isolated place. Some Bengalis would come. But Srila Prabhupada was that personality that Lord Nityananda, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other such great acharyas dreamed of. Srila Prabhupada put great effort into developing this place. He had a vision. His followers didn't know what was happening. Just like a puppet does not know what he is doing or not doing, but the puppeteer knows what the puppet will do. Srila Prabhupada got this land. It was an isolated place, rice paddies, millions of mosquitoes and cobras and other snakes, nothing on it. He had erected just a simple grass hut, and he lived in that little hut. In the monsoons, everything would be flooded. The Ganga would be overflooded. He just had a few devotees living here. His vision was that people from all over the world would come here to hear and chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The devotees, they didn't know what they were thinking. Who will ever come to such a God-forsaken place like this? God-forsaken in the sense of very much away from everything. One little road. But we see by Srila Prabhupada's great empowered devotion how just today there's about almost 2,000 people from Russia. A few years ago, Russia was a communist country filled with atheists. And Srila Prabhupada just went there for a few days, preached to a few people, and the result of that is there's tens and thousands of people in Russia chanting Hare Krishna. From Africa, like in this next room, there's nice devotees from Africa being brought by Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Places which appeared to be farthest, most impossible reaching places to reach with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. From China, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, South America, America, from all countries of Europe, Just in the temple every morning you will see people from every continent in the world, practically. From every different religious background, people from Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, Parsi, atheist, scientist, everyone. And they are all raising their arms, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
In the holy land of Navadvip. Srila Prabhupada especially wanted devotees from all over the world to come for several reasons. One is to give pleasure to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. It was their desire. But why was it their desire? Because the power of chanting the holy name in this place is inconceivably greater than the power of chanting the holy name anywhere else. Because the Leela of the Lord, although appearing only 500 years ago, is eternal. Nitya Leela, Nitya Dham. That Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's transcendental pastimes are taking place on the spiritual platform always in the holy land of Navadvip. And when our eyes become purified, we could experience those pastimes even today. And by chanting the holy names with great enthusiasm, engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service here in Navadvip Dham, we are actually participating in the Lord's own divine pastimes. Navadvip means 9 islands, Navadvip. And those 9 islands are constructed like a lotus flower, where there is a whorl in the center and there are 8 petals. And the whorl in the center is Antardvip, the place, or Mayapur, where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. And for those of you who will be going on the parikrama, it begins within 1 or 2 days. You will be going to all those 9 islands, 9 petals of the lotus flower of this holy land. And each island represents one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Saravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasire pudana saki jana atma nivedana. The island of Antardvip represents Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to the Supreme Personality of God. And by following these 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, in this holy land, great, great spiritual benefits will take place. And by receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, by practicing devotional service here, we get great spiritual power. And Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas want us to take that spiritual power, take that mercy of Navadvip Dham, and bring it to every town and village throughout the world. That is the mission of the Lord. And that is the mission which we have accepted as our life and our soul. Pastimes of the Lord were enacted here in Navadvip. And by remembering these pastimes and having wonderful kirtan, we can experience the greatest joy and the greatest purification. At the yoga peak, which you have all seen, you can see it right from up, it is only a few minutes walk away. It was there that Jagannath Misha and Sachi Devi gave birth to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just close to there on the bank of the Ganges in Mayapur is where Sri Advaitacharya offered his prayers, calling out for Lord Krishna to descend, to deliver all the most fallen souls in this age of Kali. It was there that Advaitacharya invited the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come and establish the Yuga Dharma of the congregation chanting of the holy names. And in response to his prayers at the Yogapit, Lord Gaurasundar appeared. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, he appeared like the brilliant golden sun in the horizon. The brilliant golden moon, I'm sorry, in the horizon of the womb of Sachi Devi. When he was just a baby child, he would cry, and the only way to pacify his crying was when everyone would come together and clap their hands and loudly chant the holy names of Krishna. In this way, from his very infancy, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names. Sometimes, when he was very young, as a baby, the demigods would come just to have the darshan of the Lord. They would disguise themselves as Brahmins' wives just to join the kirtan with everyone else and chant the holy names just to see Lord Gaurasundar smile upon them. It was here that Nimai, born under the neem tree, performed so many childish activities, which are non-different than the activities of Krishna in Gokul. Sometimes, knowing himself to be the proprietor of everything that exists, he would ask his mother to give him things that she was not able to give. He would look at the moon and he would say, "Mother, give me the moon." And she didn't know what to do, how to give child moon. Sometimes when a child asks for the moon, you give him a mirror. And they look in the mirror and see the moon in their hand. They think, "Yes, now I have the moon." But Lord Chaitanya did not want reflection. He wanted the moon. And when Sachi Devi helplessly admitted that "I cannot, the moon is yours," he said, "I want it in my hand." When she could not give, he would become very, he would just begin to cry and cry and cry. And the only thing that could pacify him was when they all came together to chant the holy names. Sometimes he would see birds flying in the sky. And he would tell Sachi Devi, "I want those birds." She wanted to give him the birds. She had no power to do so. So he would cry. And one day, he cried so much. And even when everyone came together to chant the Maha Mantra, "Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,"
he still cried. And they chanted and they clapped and they danced, everything. But still he was crying. This was a very special day. So they asked him, "Why do you keep crying? What can we do for you?" He said, "The only thing that will make me stop my crying is if you give me the food that was prepared by Hiranya and Jagadish." And Jagannath Mishra was thinking, "This is a very strange request." But Jagadish and Hiranya were his very good friends. They were Brahmins living some distance away here in Mayapur. So he went there, and Hiranya, it happened to be Ekadasi. And Hiranya and Jagadish had prepared a very, very elaborate, wonderful feast for the deities on this day, Ekadasi Day. And nobody knew in the whole world that they had prepared this wonderful feast. So they were struck with wonder. How could he have known? This little tiny child. So they were thinking, he must be the Supreme Personality of God. So they brought the whole feast in great happiness. And little Nimai took some of everything. And then he stopped his crying and he was very happy. And Hiranya and Jagadish were in ecstatic love. They could sense that he was none other than Gopal, the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord would play. It was here that Vishwaroop left home to take sannyas. It was here that Nimai Pandit became the greatest scholar, disciple of Gangadas Pandit. And it was here that the great conqueror, Keshav Kashmiri, he came knowing Navadvip to be the highest place of learning in all the world. He came with elephants, riding on beautifully decorated elephants, marching bands, wonderful, wonderful processions, full of wealth. Because wherever he would go, he would challenge scholars, and he would win so much money and so many gifts from kings and from everyone. And he was very proud. He was a devotee of Goddess Saraswati. And therefore, whenever he would offer his puja to Saraswati, she would agree to actually speak through him, the goddess of learning. So who could possibly defeat him? To defeat him means you would have to defeat Goddess Saraswati herself. So sitting on the bank of the Ganga, just a few minutes from where we are now, Nimai was sitting with his students. And Keshav Kashmiri approached him. He saw the beauty of the Lord. And the Lord very calmly, he knew if he were to challenge him in a debate, in a public assembly, which was usually the way Keshav Kashmiri did things, that Keshav Kashmiri's ego would be so hurt that he would die. So he arranged it so that Keshav Kashmiri just happened to be walking along the Ganga, and the Lord happened to be there with his students and friends. And the Lord said, "Oh, you are the greatest of all scholars. We have heard your glories. Please make a poem about Mother Ganga." So he made a poem, 100 verses. Without even thinking, it just started flowing from his mouth, like the Ganges herself. Eloquent verses, beautiful Sanskrit poetry, so many metaphors. And poetic ornaments. And after all the students were just struck with wonder, how could any human possibly recite such poetry like this? And Nimai said that there are some good points, but there are also some mistakes you have made. Please explain these mistakes to me. And Keshav Kashmiri said, "I never make mistakes. It's not possible." And then Lord Chaitanya began to quote a particular selected sloka out of those 100 slokas. And by memory, he recited it. And he began to, and Keshav Kashmiri said, "How could you remember this sloka?" He said, "The same Lord that has given you the power to recite has given me the power to remember." And then he explained so many faults. And Keshav Kashmiri, who was undefeatable by anyone, he could not say a word. He was completely silent. He was not able to defend himself in any way. And the students began to laugh. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to save his pride. He told them, "You stop this laughing." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Tomorrow you come and you can discuss these things with me." And Keshav Kashmiri went home, and he was completely bewildered. He was praying to his goddess Saraswati, why you didn't come? You always make my tongue move, why you didn't make it move today? He couldn't understand. But then in his dream, the goddess Saraswati appeared to him and told him that the Lord who I worship, who I get all of my power of learning from, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who even Brahma and Shiva worship, has appeared as Nimai Pandit. I am his eternal servant, and you should also surrender to him and become his eternal servant. So the next day, Keshav Kashmiri came and surrendered himself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then he became so humble. He became so gentle. He became the Lord's pure devotee. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, he silently, he left all his elephants, left all of his beautiful, beautiful thrones and decorated garments. He left all of his followers, all of his disciples, and secretly, just alone, on his bare feet, he left Navadvip. But he had the greatest wealth, because in his heart, he took with him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gaurachandra, knowing him to be the Supreme Lord. He came with magnificent material wealth, but with a heart that was in poverty. And he left physically in total poverty, but he left as the wealthiest man in the world with love for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was just a few minutes away in the house of Srivas Thakur that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his kirtans after he returned from Gaya, taking initiation from Ishwarapuri. There, throughout the nights, the devotees would chant and dance, and the most wonderful manifestations would take place. Srivas Thakur's house is like the place of Krishna's Rasa-lila. In Vrindavan, there was the place, the Rasa-stali, where Krishna would perform his Rasa-lila. At the house of Srivas, that same lila was taking place as Lord Chaitanya with his associates would dance while chanting the holy names. Sometimes, in the ecstasy of love, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda would dance, and Lord Chaitanya would manifest symptoms of ecstasy which had never been seen before and will never be seen again. The great acharyas explained that sometimes when we chant the holy names, sometimes tears come from our eyes, sometimes our hairs may become a little standing on end, but these are temporary manifestations. But the true deep realization of love of God is what Vaishnavas are really seeking. And when a devotee has such love for God, that devotee knows that it is such a confidential thing that he wants to keep it secret within his heart, his love or her love, and wants to present oneself in a very humble way. Even Lord Chaitanya himself would present himself as having no love for Krishna. One time, in the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya ran outside. While on his way to Srivas' house, some materialistic people were criticizing the chanting of the holy name. And he came to Srivas' house, and Advaitacharya said some jesting words toward the Lord, and the Lord just left the house and ran to the Ganges and jumped in the Ganges. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu somehow or other jumped in after him and took him out. Brought him to the bank of the Ganges, just here. They asked, why you have done like this? And Lord Chaitanya said, why did you take me out of the Ganges? He said that this world, without love of Krishna, there is no reason to live. And because I do not even have one drop of love of Krishna in my heart, therefore what is the use, what is the value of my life? Better I end it now. So this was the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the role of a devotee, he never claimed to be great, but he claimed to not even possess a drop of love. But in the house of Srivas, in the ecstasy of kirtan amongst his most intimate associates, sometimes when he would dance, he would become heavier than the earth. And when he would put his foot to the ground, the entire earth would tilt. And then when he would put his other foot to the ground, the earth would tilt to the other direction. And sometimes he would become so light that his body was lighter than a little piece of cotton, and he practically floated, and he would jump in the air and float, and the devotees with their fingertips would just pass him from one to another, and he would just be floating amongst them. Sometimes from the pores of his body would come incessant perspiration. Sometimes blood would flow from every pore of his body. And sometimes his limbs would become disjointed so that there would be like 1 meter or something between his limbs. Many inches, let us say. And sometimes his limbs would contract, so they would all come into his body like a tortoise. And sometimes his hairs would stand on end. And as he would roar during kirtan, that roar would be so loud that it would deafen everyone, even the demigods in the heavenly planets. Deafened by his roar during the kirtan. And tears would pour out of his eyes like syringes, like the Ganga and Jamuna flowing simultaneously from his two eyes. Krishnadas Kaviraj admits that he cannot describe all of the transformations that took place in the Lord's body as he sometimes danced in the house of Shri. Of course, we know so many wonderful stories. You have heard the night that the son of Srivas left his body and Lord Chaitanya brought him back to life. And the child spoke to everyone how he was the eternal servant of Lord Gauranga and was simply surrendered to go wherever Lord wanted him. He was not the body. And Srivas, in his great devotion, was asked by Lord Chaitanya, why did you not say anything when your son died? Why you just let the kirtan go on and on and on? And Srivas said, my Lord, there is no problem. What could be a problem when you were in my house having kirtan? And the Lord was so pleased with him that it was there that Lord Chaitanya said that you may have lost one son, but today you have gained two sons. He said, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and myself, we are your sons. And Srivas was very happy. It was in Srivas's house that Lord Chaitanya showed the universal forms. That same wonderful form he showed Arjuna, he showed to Advaitacharya. It was in the house of Srivas that Lord Chaitanya performed the Mahaprakash, where for 22 hours he fulfilled the desires of all of his devotees. He called each devotee individually and revealed to them the form of the Lord that they worshipped. to Murari Gupta. He revealed to Murari Gupta and all the devotees that he was Hanuman, and his body manifested the beautiful form of Lord Ram, along with Sita and Lakshman and all the paraphernalia of Ayodhya. Kolavecha Sridhar, Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya Nityananda. He revealed his wonderful, wonderful forms of the Lord and fulfilled all their desires and gave the benedictions of pure, unalloyed love to all of his devotees. So the Navadvip Leela is unlimited. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in his form of Sri Ananta Shesha, with his thousand heads, for the entire span of eternity, can never come to a conclusion in his glorification of the Lord's pastimes here in Navadvip Dham. But it is that same Ananta Shesha who is forever glorifying the pastimes and the names of the Lord, who appeared as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And it was Lord Nityananda Prabhu who instructed Vrindavan Das Thakur and the teachings in which Vrindavan Das Thakur had written the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it was Nityananda Prabhu who also instructed Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to go to Vrindavan. And there he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitam. Nityananda Prabhu has made the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Sri Navadvip Dham known to all fortunate persons in the world. And Srila Prabhupada has explained to us that all the glories, all the wonders, all the qualities, all the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are revealed to those who sincerely and attentively chant the holy names. So while you are staying here for these days in Sri Navadvip Dham, make it very, very beneficial. We should derive the greatest benefit from this good fortune we have. Srila Prabhupada instructed that every year the leaders of his Hare Krishna movement meet here in Mayapur to have their international GBC meetings. Knowing that meetings are very difficult, but if the meetings are in Mayapur, there is the best hope that they can be transcendental. So we have, because after all, this is the world headquarters for Lord Chaitanya's movement. And the Prabhupada said that Mayapur is the international headquarters for the entire Krishna consciousness movement. There can be no other international headquarters, because this is the eternal headquarters of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his movement. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that direction, that major decisions for the directions of the preaching of this movement be made every year here in Mayapur. But for all of you, you should understand what you have come here for. To serve the devotees and to chant the holy names. You have no other business here. In fact, even our meetings, the basic purpose behind all of our meetings is to serve the devotees and to propagate the holy names. It is really the all-in-all of our whole movement, to serve the devotees, to show kindness to the non-devotees, and to chant the holy name. And everything we do is simply with that goal and purpose in mind. So when you are on the parikrama, you will hear so many wonderful narrations. You will have so much wonderful association with devotees from all over the planet. And you will have so much wonderful opportunity to take shelter of the Supreme Lord by the chanting of his names. And through pure chanting and pure seva to the Lord's devotees, gradually Srinavadvip is revealed to you by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, by that same mercy, you can reveal Srinavadvip Dham to everyone, everywhere, wherever you go. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
Jai.
Shri Da Prabhupada.
Jai.
Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai.
How there can be mercy there if there's known to be merciful too, because everyone's already liberated. So how's that mercy element put into the spiritual world?
Can you be mercy to your god brothers and god sisters also? Mercy is always there. In the material world, the manifestation of mercy is often through giving Krishna prema to the fallen and the wicked. In the spiritual world, the Lord's mercy is to ever increase the ecstasy of the love of his devotees. The Lord is all merciful. Always, everywhere. When Navadvip appears in this material existence, that same lila of Krishna experiencing the love of Sri Radha is taking place. That same experience of the Lord's eternal associates, immersed in the ocean of ecstatic prema through the congregational chanting of the holy names, is taking place. But in this material world, the special feature that is not in the spiritual world is the Lord is giving all the fallen souls in this age of Kali the opportunity to enter into that league. He is inviting everyone, canvassing. Chant Hare Krishna be happy. Any other questions?
In Krishna love, and that all Krishna's intimate associates are mainly women, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's in love, and that he's associating. His intimate association is with men. But in Krishna Lila, we find that his intimate association is gopis and Srimati Radhana.
Also gopas. He had intimate associates with everyone. Even cows, parrots, deers, monkeys,
peacocks.
Peacocks, swans, cowherd boys. He had intimate association with everyone in Goloka, in the various rasas. Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryas. But the intimate association that Krishna had with gopis in Madhuryaras is the highest, most mysterious and difficult lila to understand. And if we are tinged with material desire, We cannot properly understand. So therefore, the Lord accepted the role of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and later he even took sannyas, and he followed very rigidly the principles. And Lalita Sakhi became Swarup Damodar, who was also a sannyasi. Vishakha Devi became Ramananda Rai. Rupa Manjari became Rupa Goswami, and so on. Sri Radharani became Gadadhar Pandit. In this way, the confidentiality, which was very difficult to comprehend for conditioned souls, became completely acceptable, understandable to everyone. Those same conjugal love of pastimes were performed through the medium of the kirtan between the Lord and his plane. It is actually, in this age of Kali Yuga, the only proper and practical way to actually attain the Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna. Is through worshipping Lord Chaitanya and his associates and meditating on their pastimes. Automatically entrance into the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Without misconception. Yes, Gornitai Prabhu.
Is there a difference between the mercy that was given out when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were on the planet and the mercy that's given out now? Because it seems that when they were actually on the planet, the mercy was Jagat Maya, they were immediately delivered and immediately had love of God, and now it seems like it takes a little while. What is the difference between?
The same mercy. But when the Lord descends himself personally, he delivers it in a miraculous way that no one else can do. Just like if you're sick and you need medicine, if you take the tablets regularly, after some time you get cured. But if the physician personally comes and gives you injection, it happens immediately. Same effect, but a very immediate result. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he personally came, as the Absolute Personality of Godhead, he performed the leela of giving love of God like no one else can. Without any qualification, he would just give. Even to the tigers and to the elephants and to the snakes, even to Jagai and Madhai. But through his representatives, his devotees and disciple succession, he is giving the same identical exact mercy. But one must be willing to accept the principles of sadhana by following those instructions to receive it. The Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya could make the tigers dance and chant in ecstasy. He said, we cannot do that, but at least we can try to invite human beings to do so. And even that is very difficult. Because he is the Supreme Lord. We are his servants. The same mercy is there. But when Lord Chaitanya came, he broke through everything and just gave the highest to everyone he came in contact with. As his servants, we can come to deliver that message and to deliver that mercy. And if someone takes it, and practices the instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave, they can get the same result. But through the normal course of action, through the practice of sadhana, and by surrendering to his process, that is the normal course of receiving his mercy. When he comes, he performs exceptional pastimes of giving that mercy. Yes?
Is there someone that don't cry?
You make the stones cry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Huh? In the age of Kali Yuga, everyone's hearts are harder than stones. Our hearts are like stone. And if we chant nicely, our stones will also cry. This was Narottam Das Thakur's realization that Lord Chaitanya had come, and his mercy, by chanting the holy names, even stones will melt. Even steel will melt. But my heart still is not melting. Therefore, it is harder than steel. Harder than stone. But hope against hope, if we just go on chanting Hare Krishna, the stone of our heart will melt. We'll cry. Any other questions? Yes? Hare Krishna, and you should understand that all of these devotees, they are the descendants of Lord Chaitanya, they are descendants of Srila Prabhupada, they are all your family members, and they, because they have taken to the process of serving this great mission and chanting the holy names, they are all great souls. And if you do not know them, you should get to know them. Very simple. Just because you don't know someone, it doesn't mean you never have to know someone. Srila Prabhupada said, just because you were born naked, it doesn't mean you have to stand naked forever. You don't know someone, you just bow down and say, Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Kripa Sindhu Bhagacha. Say, my name is Dinanath Prabhu. And I am your servant, how can I serve you? And then you dance with them and chant with them and take prasad with them, and then you know them. Is that so difficult? It is a wonderful experience and a wonderful opportunity. And because you are a doctor, so many people will be coming to engage you in their transcendental loving service. Hopefully, they will not come. But undoubtedly, they will come. So you have a service that will make it so easy. People will be coming to you, standing in line, to give you their association and the blessing of allowing them to serve, you to serve them. So you have a very wonderful, wonderful blessing to come in this role of serving the devotees like this. You should talk to devotees, find out where they are serving, how they are serving, and you will be struck with wonder how so many devotees from so many parts of the world are performing such incredible austerities to serve Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada's mission. It will give you a very great and deep appreciation. Here is one of the greatest, most senior Vaishnavas in all the world, Srila Mukunda Maharaj.
Right there.
We are looking at your lotus feet, Maharaj. We have in one room Mukunda Maharaj and Malati, two of the most important.
Where's Malati?
It's right here.
Where's Prabhupada? Where did you come? Can you hear from him?
Hare Hare. Shri Mukunda Maharaj ki
jai. Mukunda Maharaj ki jai. Malati Prabhu ki
jai. We are praying for such interruptions. Malati, something you would like to say to enlighten the devotees?
I think you listened very closely to your very kind instructions. I will also try to listen. And to remain encouraged in Krishna consciousness. Not to become discouraged. Just like he was asking that question about the quick fix. I think 2 years ago, Nityananda Swami asked you the same question here in Mayapur. You gave the same answer. We have to, I think, learn the quality of patience while we're beginning to execute devotional service. And to remember that it seems like we want everything so quickly. But Prabhupada said something that's valuable, takes a long time to rectify. He's constantly mentioning in his purports or in his lectures that it's a gradual process.
Gradual is also quick. Sati Yuga, 60,000 years you would have to live to pass it before you even get a glimpse of Namibhava.
In the sage of Kali Yuga, just one life of 70, 80 years. 50 years, if you just chant Hare Krishna sincerely and serve devotees, you can get pure love of God. So, what's long and gradual to us is actually very quick if relative to what we're getting. Does everyone know Chandrasekhar Maharaj?
I know.
One of our very dear God brothers. Chandrasekhar Maharaj ki.
Yeah.
He is preaching now in New Zealand and Australia. For many years he lived in New Vrindavan. You are going?
They have been asked to serve for the Mahamantra. You asked me if can send two devotees to serve for the meeting with some drink. So they wanted two devotees.
There you go. We have another special guest. one of the most beautiful temples in all of the world is in Durban, South Africa. The deities are Sri Sri Radha Radhanath. And it's one of the most successful preaching temples in all the world. And this is the temple president, one of the illustrious disciples of Srila Bhakti Charu Swami. His name is Shruti Kirti Prabhu. Shruti Kirti Prabhu ki.
Yeah.
Just one question, somebody. Thank you very much for your kind mercy to doctors of Bombay, so that we got a chance for Mayapur, your mercy of your holiness. Kindly give your blessings. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.
Everything is within Krishna's name. All spiritual truths are revealed through the chanting of the holy name. The supreme of all religious principles is the chanting of the holy names. Why? Because Krishna is none different than his name. All of Krishna's pastimes, all of Krishna's qualities, all of Krishna's beauty and opulences are revealed to us only through the process of chanting his holy name. So it is the most essential aspect of our spiritual lives is chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said 99% of our spiritual advancement is depending on how we are chanting the holy names. At the beginning, as we are chanting the holy names, Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Bhavanam, our heart, our mind is a very filthy and dirty place. And because of the filth and the dirt in the mind, it is causing the mind to always want to divert away from the sound of the name. That is the sign of material contamination in our heart. The lust, the greed, the anger, the envy, the pride, the illusion that is within our heart is causing our mind to go elsewhere as we are chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But our devotion, our bhakti, is expressed when we fight against the enemies of these anartas and bring our mind back to the holy names. Just as Arjuna, when he was on the chariot with Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there were so many millions and millions of powerful warriors that were opposing him on the side of the Kurus. And Arjuna had to fight each one of them in order to surrender to the will of Krishna. So similarly, as we are chanting the holy names, so many formidable enemies will come from within our mind. They are living within our mind to take our mind away from the name of Krishna, try to steal it, capture it, conquer it, some direction. And when each one comes, we have to battle against it. And how do we battle against it? By somehow neglecting and ignoring these thoughts and bring our consciousness back to the sound of the holy names. So when we sit down for japa, it's like sitting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's a fight, it's a battle, it's a war. There'll be Bhishma, Drona, Karna, just trying to take our... So many thoughts. We have to be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We have to be fighting all of them by keeping our mind fixed in Krishna's name. So at the beginning it's a battle because there are so many anarthas. We have to fight the battle. One of the offenses of the holy name is to be inattentive. That means to let these enemies capture our mind and take it away from Krishna. So we have to be very, very diligent in our chanting. We have to very carefully guard against the 10 offenses and chant very attentively every day, both in japa as well as in kirtan. And through this process, gradually we become cleansed, as Malati Prabhu was explaining. As we chant the holy names, the power of the holy name cleanses our heart. And according to our sincerity and our service attitude, which is developed through serving Vaishnavas and being compassionate to the fallen souls, as we are compassionate to the fallen souls in the order of Guru, and we are serving the devotees and serving the order of Guru, we develop a proper service attitude. With that service attitude, we are actually in the proper consciousness to chant. And if we go on chanting in this way, and fight the war with the mind and the senses, gradually Krishna reveals the highest and most sublime truths through his name. The name, chanting of the holy name, is the way, the means and the end. It is through chanting of the holy names that we could conquer our minds. And what is the result of the conquered mind? That we can offenselessly, purely chant the holy name. And at that stage, Krishna actually reveals the most confidential, intimate aspects of our relationship with him through his name. Does that answer your question?
So we should conquer our enemies. Our mind should be dead.
Yes. The only way to conquer is to keep our mind always connected to the sound of Krishna's name. Harinam. Sri Harinam Sankirtan.
Jai.
Thank you very much. Have a very wonderful pilgrimage here in Sri Dham Mayapur. I will be going tomorrow morning to Bombay. Thank you for your blessing. I was planning to stay and go for the parikrama and stay for the whole festival. But my health has become very less. So Krishna is sending me back to Bombay. prayer to all of you is be very humble, be very enthusiastic, serve the devotees in such a wonderful way that throughout the whole world people will remember Belgaum Radha Gopinath and Radha Vrindavan Natabara's devotees as very nice servants who like to chant Hare Krishna. This is my hope and prayer to you. You're such wonderful servants of all the Vaishnavas, so joyfully chanting the holy names, that devotees from all over the world will be inspired and remember these devotees are very nice. Thank you very much. What they will think is that they will give me their blessings because you are very nice.